But there were some articles about the church. And it dawned on me what a special entity the church is. The church is many things. It is the collective religious body that Jesus instituted. It is us that gather here in this location, the church. It is us individually as part of that overall, I am the church, you are the church. We make up the church. Amen. And so there's multiple meanings of what the church is. It cannot be bottled in one thing. And I know I sometimes overlook maybe and minimize just what it is that I'm a member of. That what I am part of. The overall big picture. The history nerd in me, I see documentaries. And there was a documentary I remember watching about the men and women, I guess, that were part of the companies that built Hoover Dam. That they would have reunions periodically. And literally they were so proud that they were part of something. That me and you, we may have never seen each other on the job site, but we built that. And I'm sure, you know, Daryl, in your job, there's probably something to that, to be able to drive by some and think to yourself, me and my crew, we did that. Our company did that. You know, and I'm sure when Jory goes back to Michigan, even though he's no longer Michigan State Police, to see that uniform in a restaurant. That brotherhood, that whether he met them or not. A former teacher of mine, he's passed on now, there's very few of them left. He was at Pearl Harbor. And I remember sitting in and talking with him for extended talks. And how he would go to reunions periodically about what a special group of people that was. I remember seeing, and they're getting fewer and fewer and fewer, the Navajo Code Talkers of World War II. People that were Bataan Death March survivors. The pride that they had in being part of that group. When I was growing up, In junior high, the Miami Dolphins went undefeated. The only NFL team to ever do that. They have reunions. And I've seen documentaries about the pride they have. We're a select few to have ever done this. And I apply that. I apply those documentaries and so forth. And I think to the church. What a special elite group. You know, somebody at Pearl Harbor just had the dumb luck happenstance. to have been there and to have survived it. Good for them. Christ died for the group that we're in. You talk about special. And we've chosen to be part of that group. We've made that conscious decision. And it was a very high price group with Jesus' blood that initiated that. And there was an article, or not, it wasn't an article, it was a one-page thing that I Stacy gave me from the Gospel Advocate. And I'd like to read this. It's about the church. And then I'd like to tie some scriptures in. It says, "Before rocks and crosses, jails and government statues, the early church preached and moved forward. All because she saw Him who is invisible. Him who holds the keys of life, death, and hell. Having already made the decision to die for His name, she was virtually untouchable, unharmable, undestroyable. Resistance was in her life's blood, dying to live, the cornerstone on which she was built. Having already met in her Lord and won over the combined forces of earth and hell, she marched triumphantly on, never stopping to count those who in the heat of battle were suddenly taken on ahead to join that brave band of witnesses who stand in applause for those who are still locked in mortal combat with the enemy. She never paused to number the tribes, never compared herself with others, never formed alliances with dubious allies, never struck compromise out of fear. She marched on and on, listening only to the orders given by her Lord. She had no mind but the mind of Christ. She willed only to do His will. She sought no glory but His. Here and here alone are the guts of the triumphant church." Amen. I don't know who wrote that. The Gospel Advocate published it. But that's what we belong to. In the New Testament, the church is talked about in the Old Testament. In fact, that's the, you know, one of the main focuses of the Old Testament is that a Savior is coming for you. That a Savior is coming to establish that church. That the church was prophesied when it was going to be established, where it was going to be established, how it was going to be established. Time after time. In the New Testament, there are over 100 passages that talk about the church in various forms. Either the universal body of believers or a local assembly, or whether it be us individually as the church. Over 100 verses. And I'd like to read those. No, not all of them. I'd like to read some of them. Matthew 16, verse 18. This is Jesus' in Caesarea Philippi in the midst of idol, you know, one of the idol capitals of the world. And he had asked his followers, who do men say that I am? And they spoke up. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. He says, who do you say? Who do you say that I am? And Peter responded, you know, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds to that. And in Matthew 16, 18, he says, after he commends Peter on his great confession of who Jesus was, he says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus says, there is nothing on earth that will be triumphant over the church. And we are part of that. Later on, in Acts, the second chapter, when the church was established in the location, at the time, in the method that had been prophesied about in the Old Testament, after Peter's great sermon and 3,000 souls were baptized, in Acts 2:47 it says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. In one definition, the church is, and I don't mean institution in a negative way, but it is the overall religious body, the living, breathing body that Jesus had created. But then when you look at it closer, the church is those who are being saved. A few chapters later in Acts, we see some of the horrific things that they were enduring. And in Acts 7, we were just talking, Preston and Devin and I were talking about, sometimes we tend to have a habit of maybe trying to read something more into something that sometimes is not there. But I'm always looking, I look at little words, you know, what's it there for? Things like that. And I look at the comparison of Peter's sermon in Acts 2 that resulted in 3,000 people being saved. And I look at the sermon that Stephen delivered in Acts 7. Not a lot of difference, but the reaction was totally different. In Acts 2, it says they were cut to the heart. And they responded, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Peter told them, then be baptized. Almost the same message was preached not too far from that in Acts 7 by Stephen. It infuriated them and they murdered Stephen. They stoned him to death. And he became, I guess after Jesus, the first Christian martyr. And right after Stephen was killed, in Acts 8, verse 1, it says, now Saul, and we know he would go on to be the Apostle Paul, now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word. That's the church. In Romans 16, verse 16, Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, and he says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you, greet you." We see yet another different definition. The collective congregations of the Lord's body greet you, Christians who are in Rome. People that you've never laid eyes on, they greet you with that bond that every one of them have chosen to belong to. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, it says the churches of Asia. It's not talking about different religious beliefs. We generically, and people will generically, that there's different kinds of churches. There's the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians, the this, the that's. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, Paul writes, the churches of Asia, the congregations, the various congregations, the various bodies of Christians that assemble here and here and here and here that are part of that overall the church that Jesus promised He was going to establish. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. This building is not the church. It is the location that the church meets. The church was not Priscilla and Aquila's house. It met in their house. Colossians 1:18. Paul writes, and He, talking about Jesus, and He is the head of the body, the church. He's our head, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. We, the church, give Him the preeminence that He deserves. Other groups don't. Other people that don't acknowledge Jesus don't do that. He is the head of the body. We're the body, the church. And we give Him the preeminence. And the last verse I'd like to look at tonight is 2 Thessalonians 1:1. It is the beginning of this letter, writing to the Christians in Thessalonica. And he's writing to a group of believers there. And it says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Writing to the group of believers that meet in Thessalonica. We are members, not by dumb happenstance, luck. My uncle was at Pearl Harbor by dumb happenstance, luck. Wouldn't have chosen to have been there. Thought he had died and gone to heaven. He was 19 years old. He was in the Great Depression. He joins the military. He got away from Oklahoma, the Dust Bowl. By dumb luck, he is stationed at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Living the life of Riley. It's peacetime. He is in the Navy in Hawaii. He's a young man. Palm trees, beaches, beautiful hula girls. Until he woke up when his barracks blew up. Dumb happenstance that he was there. We choose to be members of the church. Choose. What we belong to was bought and paid for with a very, very high price. The life of the Son of God. Every one of us are members. There's no need to offer an invitation for baptism. I do offer if you need prayers. I do offer that if you need to repent of sin, if there's anything in your life, anything that is standing between you and God, or standing between you and being a more involved, I'm talking to the wrong people tonight, Sunday night, Christmas Eve, I'm talking to the good group. If there's anything that stands between you and being a stronger, more solid member of the Lord's church, of being a Christian, of being pleasing to God, by all means repent. Whatever it is that's standing between you and that is not worth it. It's not worth it. If you need prayers, we will be glad to pray for you. Whatever your need, if you need to respond to the invitation, this body of believers, the church, will aid you in however we can. Let's stand, and Daryl will lead us in song.